Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Scott coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is a day to be sober and aware of our emotions, our thoughts, as we take every thought captive, and making sure we're being that light and being that example for Christ in this season and in the season ahead. And so as we check our emotions at the door, again, want to start off in scripture. And today I want to look at a lengthy passage. I'm not going to read it all, but continuing on the prayer points for the morning prayers in Morning Watch of the Reordering Your Day by Chuck Pierce. Today's focus is on really preparing ourselves for the next season. We talked a little bit about that yesterday and prayed about that. And a way to do that, and scripture tells us here, and what I want to focus on is 2 Samuel 2, chapters 2 and 3. And in the beginning, I want to focus on the beginning. Let me blow this up. Is David, if you know the story of David, you know he honored Saul. And here's a great example of David continuing to honor Saul, and yet the Lord giving him the promotion that he has shown he is worthy of in this season because of the past season that he's in. And I want to start off in this first passage here of when David became king over Judah. And he found out, Well, first we start off, it says, then it came about afterwards that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to one of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. So David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. So David went up there and his two wives also. And then he went there, ends up having children there. And then he found out, he was told, they told David, saying, it was the men of Jabesh Gilead who buried Saul. David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said to them, may you be blessed of the Lord because you have shown this kindness to Saul your Lord and have buried him. Now may the Lord show loving kindness and truth to you, and I also will show this goodness to you because you have done this thing. Now therefore, let your hands be strong and be valiant, for Saul your Lord is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. And he's showing honor to those who buried Saul. And as he continues to show honor to the house of Saul. Now, when you go on and you read the rest of chapter 2 and going on into verse 3, you see literally a civil war. And in the New American Standard Bible, it has titles for certain sections of that's literally what happened, civil war in Israel. And the different tribes of Judah and Israel, at this time, the kingdom was split. And Saul's son, Ish-bosheth, created this atmosphere, for whatever reason, of this continued fighting inside. And when you go inside of Israel, when you go into verse 3, David continues to have children, he's strengthened, and then Abner, who was in the house, one of the generals within the house of Saul, became upset at some of the things that happened within Israel, and then went over to the king of David, to Judah and the tribe of Judah with David. And Joab and his brothers got mad, and this is a point of what we want to focus on today, of checking our hearts, making sure we're honoring, even though, because this is going to happen in the days ahead, where there are those in the enemy's camp who may have done horrible things in the past. We have to forgive them. We have to honor the call of God in their life as they come in and not commit the sins that Joab did. Let's make that be a a lesson for us to learn in this season as we come out and as people are healed and delivered and they're awakened. Let's show them the forgiveness that the Lord has shown them, as David did here to Abner, and really make sure we're preparing ourselves for the next season as well. And so the prayer point that is laid out is we want to, in these moments where our emotions might possibly get the best of us, is we want to declare that in the war from the last season, that you are overcoming the structures that would hold you and keep you from your next promotion, from going from glory to glory, from strength to strength, as it talks about in the New Testament. Is we want to be in that foundation of the Lord, that no matter what happens, where somebody who we may have hated, who may have committed an evil crime in the past, but the Lord heals them, delivers them, forgives them of their sins as they continue to deal with their issues. So do we need to deal with our issues, but we can forgive them, partner with them, and let this be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit for a revival and a great awakening, not only in this nation, but for the rest of the world now and in the days ahead. Okay, so with that of a focus of honoring, I want to give an update about the situation in Ukraine, and again, talk about the White House's response towards the situation and why we need to pray so heavily, because there is confusion, a civil war within this White House. And yes, there are issues with how things happened in the last election. I want to make that very clear. But the current sitting president is the current sitting president, and the Lord has allowed it. For whatever reason, for whatever purpose, he's there. We need to honor so that in the next season we can overcome. We can be a light to those who are around us. So, because if we get a hardness of heart and we say, look, we're right, but we're not showing love, those people who might have, like Abner, come over because of the issues that are there, come over being healed and delivered, and they're still going to walk it out. They're still not going to be perfect. And get on the Lord's side and uprooting this righteousness of unrighteousness, uprooting this deep state, however you want to put it, this is time to really prepare ourselves for the next season. So what we're seeing now out of Ukraine and Russia is the fact that we talked a little bit about it yesterday, how Russia is basically giving an ultimatum to Ukraine, saying, do what we want or we're going to completely obliterate you. We're starting to see some of that come out. This article from the Jerusalem Post talks about how Zelensky might possibly give in. But then there's also a report coming out that Zelensky quotes Churchill in front of the UK Parliament, which is very interesting. So you're seeing a lot of news coming out. It's still a test of time to see what will happen. My brief continued learning and studying Ukrainian history, they are not ones to give up. They will fight even to the death to a point. And Russia's going to have to go scorched earth, as they're doing, to continue to take over Ukraine unless something happens. So this is where things are at in Ukraine. And yesterday, or I mean, we'll go back. Sunday, and this is a civil war within our administration. Sunday, we saw Secretary of State Blinken say that he's giving the green light on Sunday morning shows for Poland to give their MiG planes to Ukraine that they were going to throw away anyways. They're just going to get rid of these planes. They're trashing them because they're old Soviet equipment. And now the Biden administration, Pentagon more so, is saying, we are shocked by this, and we're not going to go forward with this. And a lot of this has to do with Poland doesn't want to be the bad guy. Poland understands that the rest of NATO needs to step up and get involved, because otherwise Poland's next. Other countries are next. They understand what's happening with Putin right now. Is he's going scorched earth. He is going after Ukraine, and Ukraine's not the only one. Poland is definitely next. And what is very scary is you see, the Pentagon or the Undersecretary of State said in front of a test of Foreign Relations Committee yesterday, I think that actually was a surprise move by the Poles, even though on Sunday, Secretary of State Blinken understood that this was a possibility and gave the green light to it. How can you say that this is a surprise move by the Poles? There's a civil war within the administration, military intelligence, however you want to look at it. Something's going on there. So we want to continue to pray for the Lord to heal and deliver and pray the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to come in to the White House. People are being awakened. They don't fully agree with what is being espoused by the Biden administration. We understand Biden's not cognitively there. We understand the same people who are in this administration, the same people who are in the Obama administration, which is why they're going to Venezuela to talk to them about producing more oil, going to Saudi Arabia, and I'll get to that here in a second. They're making the same decisions that they made under Obama. We saw how the results, the fruits of that. And so now with the decision from Biden to ban Russian oil without increasing U.S. domestic energy policy, what it's going to do to our gas prices, we'll wait and see. Putin claimed that gas prices will go up to $300 a barrel with this move. But first, I want to play a clip from that the ACLJ put together about I want to make sure I get the right one first. Making sure we understand. There's two clips, but this one first, I want to make sure is there. Okay, this is the right one. All right. So I want to play this one of the comments from the press briefing that Biden gave on this topic. It's about 2 minutes long. I want to play it.
Today, I'm announcing the United States is targeting the main artery of Russia's economy. We're banning all imports of Russian oil and gas and energy.
Something that was unthinkable even a week ago, now has become a reality. Joe Biden announcing a ban on all Russian oil imports to the United States.
This is the most punitive measures that the U.S. has taken to date. Of course, they have announced a range of other sanctions against Russia, including against its large financial institutions and oligarchs. But this goes a step further.
And if we're asking the rest of the world to step up, let's show that we're going to step up.
This right here is huge, what Joe Manchin just said, because he's putting a bill forward. There's some other things that go along with this about banning Russian oil imports. Part of this is because Nancy Pelosi and the others don't believe Biden will actually fully go through with this, as Europe is not backing with
today, him. This oil sanction, the embargo on oil, this came after bipartisan calls from Pelosi.
Yeah. And that's why Biden's doing it, is because even those within his own party are calling for this, despite the fact that it will extremely hurt the American us as consumers. Part of it is believed that the Democrats are doing this for part of the Green New Deal. Republicans are happy for it because they don't want to fund the Russians in this war with Ukraine, which, again, if you talked about it yesterday, everybody who understands anything says you can do this, but you need to open up domestic supply.
And our president always seems to be the last one to the party.
We shouldn't be advancing other countries that don't share.
This is John Tester from Montana saying he doesn't want to help them. He wants the Democrats saying this. He wants jobs and domestic production to be opened up in America.
Do it domestically, create jobs here.
So this was really a groundswell of pressure that the president was facing to take this action.
The White House even said as early as yesterday that they were still undecided about this issue. So there is some praise coming from the Capitol, including from some Republicans, even if they wanted him to act quicker. But there is also some concern about what comes next, not only for the increase in gas prices that we could see nationwide, but also how to offset the loss of those Russian energy imports. There's talk among the administration potentially increasing imports from places like Venezuela, from Iran, from Saudi Arabia. But in talking to some key Senate Democrats, they're concerned about that approach.
Russian oil will no longer be acceptable at U.S. ports, and the American people will deal another powerful blow to Putin's war machine. This is a move that has strong bipartisan support in Congress and, I believe, in the country. Americans have rallied to support the Ukrainian people and made it clear we will not be part of subsidizing Putin's war.
Okay, so he's showing he's coming from a position of weakness doing this. And then where there are now, the news is basically broke that Saudi Arabia and the UAE, who Biden is supposedly going to, do not want to talk to him to increase their oil supply production in the days ahead. Like, they don't even want to consider a conversation. For whatever reason, they're not considering a conversation. So again, we see this complete hardness of heart from this administration. And there's another clip I want to play that really explains it, but also, the EU itself is putting themselves in a weird position. They're saying, well, we're going to pull back dependence upon Russia fossil fuels well before 2030. The UK is itself saying by the end of 2022. It's only March. You're saying you're okay with this conflict. You're okay with Russia continuing to advance for another 8 years. There's a concern for that. And what's interesting is this is not a shocker. This didn't come out of anywhere. Any of this ever happened. And Trump himself said it. We have to play this to understand the reality of what's going on in this administration.
Reliance on a single foreign supplier can leave a nation vulnerable to extortion. And that is why we congratulate European states such as Poland for leading the construction of a Baltic pipeline so that nations are not dependent on Russia to meet their energy needs. Germany will become totally dependent on Russian energy if it does not immediately change course. Here in the Western Hemisphere.
And that's the point. Trump called it out. He knew it. This is nothing that we're not aware. And the point, the reason I say that is because, you know, we all want to sit here and bash Biden. It's not solely on Biden. Okay, Biden can do these things and put these sanctions on and say we're not going to take this Russian oil, but also you need Europe to do the same thing. Part of the problem is there needs to be an increase in supply. Biden administration understands that, but they're ignoring the reality of the situation. And I want to play this last clip to show the mindset and to point out some of the facts that Biden even himself said yesterday, there's 9,000 leases out there that they're not doing anything with. I have a brief comment to add to what we talked about yesterday. But here, I want to play this.
Simply not true that my administration or policies are holding back domestic energy production. That's simply not true.
The very first week in office, he shut down the Keystone pipeline.
What Ted Cruz right here is about to say is very, very important. We've talked about it here, but I just want to, somebody who understands this, whose economy, whose constituency relies heavily upon the oil industry, who understands it better than most, points this out very clearly. Pay attention to this.
Destroyed 11,000 high paid.
By striking down the Keystone pipeline, he and ending oil and gas lease production sales, killed 11,000 jobs immediately. Day one. Now, this doesn't include the other thousands of jobs that he killed via striking down and preventing construction of the border wall. Let's not talk about that either.
Jobs, including 8,000 union jobs. He immediately froze new leases both on federal land onshore and on federal land offshore.
That right there, federal land offshore, is more key than anything. That's the same exact policy decisions that the Obama administration did, where they prevented anybody with an American lease from drilling oil in the Gulf of Mexico and even further out in U.S. waters, and literally gave those drilling rights to Venezuelans. And now you're seeing them having conversations with Venezuela about that.
Do you guys want $8 gas? And the truth is they do, which for the life of me, I can't figure out, because what that means to middle class families, how that hurts our economy, how that hurts the drives up the price of everything, because it takes fuel to move goods.
This is Jim Jordan just being a figurehead at this point. He's not wrong, though.
Around the country. So it's complete craziness.
To protect our economy over the long term, we need to become energy independent.
Okay, let's understand what President Biden means by energy independent. He means by getting off of fossil fuels, which is why they're ignoring domestic production of oil and going towards green, quote unquote green energy. It's wind and solar. That's all it is. And electric, which there are years before we would ever become cost effective at producing such things.
I've had numerous conversations over the last 3 months with our European friends of how they have to wean themselves off of Russia.
He's not wrong here on that, but he's just espousing what Trump was saying.
Oil. It's just not tenable. It should motivate us to accelerate the transition to clean energy. This is a perspective that our European allies share.
This is almost a farce, Harris. Rather than trying to produce more oil and gas here at home, apparently, President Biden is going hat in hand to the dictator in Venezuela, who our government doesn't even recognize as a legitimate head of state in Venezuela, or we're willing to give.
And understand this. These conversations with Venezuela were backdoor. They were not meant to be made public, but somebody leaked it, and good that they did. Probably somebody who within the Biden administration who disagrees with that. So kudos on that.
The store to the Ayatollahs in Tehran who still chant death to America.
Biden says buy American. Except if it's the energy. Why right. should this we buy energy from point. People that it's don't like
wrong.
Us?
Negotiating with madmen
this right here.
Is not a good look.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we're doing. This administration does not either. They have, again, this is a reckless disregard for reality.
In 2019, the United States became a net energy exporter. We are an oil and gas superpower. And yet under Joe Biden last year, for the first time since then, America stopped being a net energy exporter as our production went down.
And that's the key point, is they want to get off of fossil fuels and go towards this green, this different type of energy, wind, solar, whatever. We're seeing, go talk to people in California, how well that's working out for them. Go talk to people in Germany, how well that's working out for them. The wind turbines that freeze up in winter and you can't get any energy from it, plus reports coming out that it takes more fossil fuels to run them than the energy that is produced from them. So you're having to duplicate, spend double on the type of energy that you're actually getting from that. And so we see this stuff come out. We see the Biden administration saying these things of banning oil. And with all of this stuff that's going on in Russia and Ukraine, what is now coming to light this weekend is that there are Russians and Ukrainians traveling and getting Mexican tourist visa, refugee visas in Mexico, buying cheap cars that they ditch at the border once they get into America, claim asylum status from Europe, which the international law is you're supposed to go to the nearest country, Poland, heck, even go to Germany, France, like, they're getting across continents to come to America and come in. Now, the question is with these Russians and supposed Ukrainians, and there might be some legitimate Ukrainians seeking refugee status, but the Russians have questions of, are they legitimate Russians? Are they bad actors? Who are these people? We don't know because they're not checking them. And a lot of the data we have on them is from months ago. So the ones coming in now, who are they? Trump said it a couple weeks ago in an interview with Clay Travis and Buck Sexton that there are upwards of over 100 countries just dumping their prison systems into Mexico and then having them come up into the United States. If that were even true, if that were one country doing that, that's a problem. Like, we have a problem at our border, and this administration is completely ignoring it for whatever reason. We can all understand that. And so we're seeing all this, and I pointed out the clips from John Tester and Joe Manchin because they are joining with Republicans and calling for increase in U.S. oil production. But what is more important than any of this, of these calls for U.S. oil production, is the fact that they both sit on a committee where a Biden nominee could potentially help alleviate this problem. And he talks about, Joe Manchin talks about, he says, as we continue to watch energy being used as a weapon by Vladimir Putin, the need for increased American energy production is clear to ensure domestic supplies and help our allies. He goes on to say that the Senate chair for the Senate Energy Commerce Committee, he was withholding his nomination of Laura Daniel Davis, President Joe Biden's nominee, to become the Assistant Interior Secretary for Land and Materials Management over concerns that the Biden administration was not doing enough to bolster domestic production. He said he wants Ms. Daniel Davis to see more from the department than it intends to go back to the business of leasing and production on federal lands and waters in a robust and responsible way. Because this lady is not showing that she would do those things. She would continue to go along with this Green New Deal of completely overhauling the energy sector to go towards wind and solar. And what we want to pray for here is that the Senate leaders have wisdom and revelation when voting on these cabinet members, nominees, on whether they would actually be good for the country. And what we're seeing here is two representative leaders whose constituencies rely heavily upon oil and gas production domestically, standing up and saying something. And just because they're Democrats doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. And so we want to understand the realities of what's going on and understand that we're a long way off from being solely reliable. And even if it's still not determined if it's even possible to be reliable on wind and solar right now. It's very intermittent. It doesn't produce enough. You're seeing that in China. You're seeing that in Germany. You're seeing that in Texas. You're seeing that in California. You're seeing it in every place that it's been tried. There's a lot of issues that come with it. And so we want to pray for them to have wisdom. And also, just briefly, pray for them to have wisdom on the Supreme Court nominee. They're now, Senator Lindsey Graham is saying, I'm not going to vote to nominate President Biden's nominee, which is, this is all being quiet during all this Ukraine stuff. But in the coming days, this will start to heat up. And there are a lot of issues with her as she is a political advocate for Democratic policies. That is a major red flag for somebody who is supposed to be an objective judge on the Supreme Court. So there are issues there. I want to pray for wisdom there as well. And then lastly, I want to close on this. The House has supposedly passed a brief continuing resolution until March 15th. So they can avert a shutdown and then discuss the bill that is supposedly being sent to the Senate, upwards of $1.5 trillion in the midst of this chaos of the Ukraine issue, because Republicans want to get support and funds to Ukraine while also allowing a lot of social welfare programs to continue to go on, increasing spending in other areas that are major red flags, including things that are part of the Green New Deal. So we want to intercede for Senate and congressional leaders to have wisdom and revelation when voting for this government funding bill and not to get caught up in the emotions of the hour, to make sure we're doing what's best for our country, because this could, $1.5 trillion on top of $30 trillion increasing. And understand, that's only what we've seen from the past. Doesn't include the increases from the budgets of the past. So we're already at a extremely over-leveraged position from the federal government standpoint of view. And we need to pray for them to have wisdom, because they're the ones that could they're causing problems for our children's children. You know, we're supposed to leave an inheritance for our children's children. Scripture tells us it is for the parents to save up for the children, not for the children to save up for the parents. So we're going into an anti-biblical situation, and more so anti-kingdom. Don't want to get too dramatic with anti-biblical, but anti-kingdom as far as what would be wise to do financially for our nation, of having us literally robbing from future generations, where God tells us through scripture that that is not a wise position to be in financially if we want to be a prosperous nation in the long run. And so this is very concerning, very alarming, but we want to continue to pray for that, as well as pray for this administration to have wisdom and revelation and the fear of the Lord in this Ukraine and Russia issue, as we are seeing a divide within this administration from the military and Secretary of State Blinken, on whether to get involved, because at the end of the day, something, unless Europe realizes the exact situation that they're in, this could get worse. And right now they don't, because they're in partnership with Russia on their energy sector. So this is a time to hit our knees in prayer, not only for protection and safety of the Ukrainian and even Russians inside Russia, the people, to expose this demonic agenda that is occurring right now in Ukraine from the Russians, and even with the Iranians, as Russia, we talked about it yesterday, is brokering a deal between the U.S. and Iran to get Iran back and get funding. This is Iran will get funding from the United States with this Iran nuclear deal. So I close with that. Thank each and every one of you. Don't forget, we have our noon prayer, our appeal to heaven noon prayer today with our Olive students, praying, crying out to the Lord as we appeal to him, as we have seen our cries be ignored from natural leaders as they've had a hardness of heart, praying that the Lord's Holy Spirit wisdom would come in this nation to touch the hearts and minds of men now and in the season ahead. So with that, I bless you, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.